Thank you. back in four weeks before Christmas. They should have put it back in October and killed Halloween. Should have done away with that. What should have done away with put Thanksgiving there at the end of October. And give us 2 weeks between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'm subject to gain 10 pounds between October, November and Thanksgiving.
There you go.
God, I've got too much invested to get rid of. That boy told somebody, spent too much to get it.
Get rid of it now.
Jesus is the reason for the season. Tell them something about Jesus during the holidays. And too many people commit suicide around Christmas. I'm just telling you what they say in fact. That's what they say the facts are. A lot of people want to kill themselves around Christmas. Depressed. Or whatever. They see everybody else happy, seem like, and they ain't got nothing. They need Jesus. They need the Lord is what they need. Get God in them. Get the Lord in them. Let Him work on them. Get rid of that suicide devil. That suicide devil. Don't you read the Bible where it says that they threw themselves down and threw themselves in the fire and threw themselves in the river and everything else? That's the devil. That's the devil trying to make you kill yourself. You tell me what you want to. Jesus ain't in there acting like that. Jesus' people ain't in there acting like that either. People need to get the heart in line and in tune with Jesus. They need to hear something about the Lord. Praise the Lord. Page 240. I'm going to take up the tithes and offering way. Just at least get the song started. Got that. Something you want to give.
Oh,
blessings, Lord. Personal testimony. Now this here is going back to where Paul first met the Lord on the road to Damascus. And you can read this same testimony in three different places. Acts chapter 9, right here in Acts chapter 22, where we at today, and also in Acts chapter 26, you can read it again, and it's right here where we at here. It sounds as if Paul is the one telling the story, but if you read one of the other versions of the story, it sounds like Luke is telling the story. So that's the only reason why you have different words, and maybe something sounds different. But it's not that the three different stories, it's sometimes the three different views, you see. This morning when we leave church, or after 12, whatever, you can go home and tell your people what kind of service we had this morning, you know. And I go home and tell Pam what kind of service we had this morning. You might go home and tell Willard, you know, what kind of service we had this morning. You think all three of them explanations about this service going to be exactly the same? No, it ain't contradictory. It's just that you got three different stories, three different people telling us about the service. That's all that is. A lot of people say, oh, the Bible contradicts itself. No, you got to get in there and realize what's going on. And I know God puts people here to help us with this, teachers, preachers, and that type of thing. You have to get in there and realize that you got different people telling different versions. And it talks about Ananias right here praying for Paul. You got to realize the three Ananias is in the New Testament. Ananias that was married to Sapphira. Both of them fell dead for lying to Peter and the apostles. Ananias the high priest. And then you got Ananias of Damascus. So you see, you got a lot going on. But the lesson we want to study today in Acts 22 is the one that we more or less got focused on. This one we got to be focused on is a personal testimony. And you can't testify two times of the same thing. If I testify this morning about the goodness of the Lord and then come back tonight and try to testify the exact same thing, I'm not going to tell you it's that same word for word. I don't think I could do it. But you've got to have a personal testimony, see? That's the idea. You can't get by without having some kind of personal testimony. You might not testify here all the time. But God wants you to testify to somebody. Somebody's going to ask you about the Lord. Or the Lord's going to put you in a place where you can testify to somebody else, somewhere or another, on the phone, you know, some kind of way. But some people say, we'd have been better off if we never got these cell phones. If you use them for the right thing, we'd probably be a lot better off. They may not be.
Say that about house phones.
Yeah. Amen. They say it one time, it was a sin to have a house phone. I used to stand out in front short about years ago and I had a that rotary phone, you can hear them dialing the number, and then when they get on the phone, you can hear them talking up down the wires out there. You can, if it was clear enough on a clear enough day or whatever it was, you could almost tell exactly who it was on the phone. Sometimes you pick up the phone or y'all about through. I've been waiting for 30 minutes to try to use the phone. I can't use the phone call because I've got the line tied up. Anyway, there's no tie, no lines up with Jesus. Now, if you get to talking about something sometimes you ain't supposed to, sometimes the Lord might prick your heart. But you know, when you testify about Jesus and you say the right thing, God ain't going to stop. And sometimes you get to talking about something and it goes with swelling up in your chest, lumping up in your throat and all that, and you can't hardly say nothing. It might be because you're saying the wrong thing, the wrong time, or the wrong place, or something. You might be saying the right thing, but it could be the wrong place, or the wrong time. I don't know. But you have to know, you know, for yourself, the Lord's pressing on you to say something. When the Lord's pressing on you, pushing on you to talk, tell things. That's a pretty good section up there at the top. The need. You want to read that, Sister Debbie? Read it good and loud for us.
Lord, we know we don't live close enough to D.C. to make a difference but you. Our church is just too small to do much. I sure wish I had that spiritual gift, but I don't, so I can't help. These are just a few of the many excuses littering our churches today. The general theme is that we are too busy, unqualified, uncalled, or simply unable to be involved in God's work, whatever God's work may be. The excuses often seem valid, at least on the surface, but the church is dying as everyone analyzes the problem but fails to work toward a solution. But I don't have a call for full-time Christian ministry, but I haven't heard God call me to get involved, but I'm just not prepared. But I'm concerned about what Brother so-and-so will think or do. But my time of service is past. Always.
If one of them got you, you might be guilty.
That's right.
If one of them excuses got you, you might be guilty of being slack. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think some of this stuff, you know, even qualifies as being an excuse. I don't live close enough to D.C. You can't do nothing about politics, no way.
Right.
The President of the United States can't keep his position no more. For lying, cheating, and stealing.
And life of memory.
I ain't talking about Biden, I'm talking about Trump. But now I'm going to tell you something. That some of this stuff don't qualify as an excuse. It qualifies as a weapon that the devil's got against the church. It's against the people of God. Some of that stuff, you can analyze it all you want to. 97% of the church ain't going. 97% ain't going. Because a few is three or four. You can't fix the whole church as a whole. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but you can't. And I hope God have mercy on a lot of our people. We pray for them. We've talked to them. And God's had mercy on them. But when that last call is called, that last call, Lord knows they got plenty of time before now and then. The last call is going to come after the millennial reign. If y'all don't know that, after the 1,000 years, there's going to be one last call. So, but I don't know exactly how all these resurrections and how these returns to the earth and the Lord calling people on how all that's going to work. when he comes back and collect his church, I don't know what's going to happen. Exactly A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. Maybe you can read Revelations and figure it out. But there's about 1,500 other books out there that you can go read and try to help figure it out too. Praise the Lord. Praise the good Lord. I tell you, I've got a zeal for the Lord, but I ain't want to be no blind leader trying to lead God's people and help God's people at the same time. The truth is welcome in heaven. It's welcome to the people of God on earth. I know what you're saying. It's welcome to those that want it. The truth is welcome to those that wants to hear the truth. There's still truth being told. Don't you can't go to the media and listen to Fox News. There's a lot of people like that Fox News. They got some new internet news companies and all this and that and the other. What are they repeating? What are they saying? See what I'm talking about? You don't know. It sounds more like lies to me than it do the truth. Let every man be a liar. Let God be the truth. We're living in that day. The Bible says God's Spirit won't always strive with man. You can't hardly talk to people no more about the Lord. And these crackheads and pill poppers and stuff out here, you better watch yourself around them. Let me tell you something, a lot of them's into illegal activity. And I don't want to be part of their little get together when it comes to doing something. Good Lord. I want to see them with both eyes up. Have you ever heard that? I want to see them come when I've got both eyes open. Let's read on. Don't you want to read 4? Read 6, 7, 8, there, 22.
And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest.
All right, thank you. Now, y'all see anything wrong with the way that starts out? It came to pass that as I made my journey to Damascus, you see, and you headed it in the wrong direction. Let me tell you, let me start back over again. When you're going somewhere for the wrong reasons, you're heading in the wrong direction. When you're going somewhere for the wrong reason, you're headed in the wrong direction. Don't run down a lie. I told them that years ago. There ain't no sense in running down a lie, because when you go run that one down, you ain't going to do nothing but cause more strife and more confusion. The wrath of man does not work at the righteousness of God. Praise the Lord. There's no sense in getting upset about that lie, because as soon as that one cools down a little bit, they're going to come up with another. Now, they don't want you saying nothing about them, even if it's the truth. Because I'm not going to go out there and make up a lie about them. See? They got their little get-togethers, and they got their little way of doing things. When the little 16, 18-year-old come up pregnant, we all grown here. They'll run down to Georgia where they got some friends and connections down there, where they got the abortion clinics. They said she had a miscarriage. What? Miscarriage down at the abortion clinic. Yep. Let me tell you something. They've got their little gimmicks, but God's got more discernment in 1 second of time than they got in a million years of time. God can show you where they at. They ain't hiding and fooling nobody. Not God's people. I'm going to tell you something. You can go over there and knock on the door and talk polite to them. And they'll talk polite to you. Pat them on the back. They'll pat you on the back. Shake their hand. They'll shake your hand. And then when you walk out the door, they're right back to the same thing that they were doing before you got there. Now they ain't. I don't guess there's no harm in telling the truth. Depends on who you're telling it to. Sister Felicia, I had to correct myself sometimes. I know sometimes y'all say something, I might say something. Sometimes I say something, then I had to say something else about what I just said. You can't expect the devil to do no better. Your testimony might hit you back in the face sometime. Your visit might hit you back in the face. Your phone call might get shot down. You, if you go to the wrong place, get up and testify, and get up and start talking, you're liable to get shot down in person. If you shoot me down one time, it's my fault. If you shoot me down two times, no, wait a minute, I'm saying that wrong. If you shoot me down one time, it's your fault. If you shoot me down twice, it's my fault.
Learn from the start.
Now, you can go to so many places if you want to out there, but everybody ain't glad to see you.
You know what they
mean. Everybody ain't happy to see you. They'll talk like they fall on the ground and pray and bow and all their kneel. They talk like they're praying. And I heard a voice saying to me, they talk like they're hearing from heaven a lot of them. They ain't even reading from the right Bible. How to hear from the right God. When you hear from heaven, you'll know you got to find out who it is that you're talking to. Sister Lisa, when I coming back from work that day through Steve Grove, the Lord spoke to me. First thing I done was just like Paul is, yes, Lord. I ain't never talked to God before like that. I mean, I've tried to pray proper something, especially when I was young or something. When you hear from heaven, you got an unmistakable voice speaking to your heart and your mind. You're going to say, who art thou, Lord? You're going to say, Lord, here I am. You're going to say, yes, Lord. You're going to answer with Lord, because you're going to know who's talking to you. You might not know what he's wanting from you or what you need to be doing. But you'll figure out who it is right quick. It don't take you but a split second. Sister Dean, you want to read?
Mm-hmm.
Read that 9, 10, 11.
And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus.
All right, thanks. In verse 8 it says, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. I probably should have said that when I talked a minute ago. But there's a lot of persecuting Jesus right on. They persecute his people right on. And the thing of it is, they claim Jesus. They claim they sing the light. Indeed the light. They saw the light and everything. I heard from heaven. I know Jesus. God is my Father. God is my witness. Did you know you can blaspheme against God, against the Word of God, the Spirit of God? You can blaspheme sitting right in the house of God. Don't you know that? And people's done it so much. Oh, I love you. I love you. And then as soon as you testify about something, know a good way you're right. They pop up against you like a toaster popping bread up out of there. I've had this happen to me. I know for a fact. And when you see things and you already know things and feel things, sometimes you got to make sure for yourself. You know, the Lord will send you back somewhere. He sent Paul back to Jerusalem. And then when he got there, he told us, he said, you can't stay here. You got to leave here. They're not going to receive your testimony. And we'll read about that a little further on. But don't be surprised. Don't be shocked when they come against you, when they ask you, what in the world are you doing here? They probably asked me that if I went to camp meeting. What in the world? What you doing? You must have took a wrong turn. I've made these journeys to these other places. And I've went, and you have to, you know, there's only a handful of places left that you can go if they're comfortable. When you get to where God wants you at, God is still going to be there, and things are still going to be done right. He told Paul, he said, you go on to Damascus. I got somebody there that can help you out. And when he went on, he said it would be appointed for thee to do. It would be told thee what you're supposed to be doing. You see, God will tell you what you need to be doing. Or he'll send some of his disciples. See, Ananias was called a disciple, not an apostle. Ananias was a disciple. And if you check up on him, the Bible says he was a devout man in the law. See, he was still living in under the law. See, they was coming from the law to grace at this time, is what they're still doing. Even after Christ died, was resurrected, they were still coming out from under the law. And that was one of Paul's main things, was to go and testify of Jesus Christ and what happened to him on the road to Damascus. That was his main testimony, to go tell the Gentiles, the kings and the priests, he was supposed to go to Rome and everything else and tell all of them what he had seen and what had done happen. Had done, what the Lord had done. He called thee and he will help you. And when I could not see for the glory of light, I was led by the hand with them that was with me. Sister B, when you walking with the Lord, you might not can see everything. But the people that's with you, if they're trying to obey God and do what God wants them to do, they'll lead you the right way. You see, you'll be led the way you need to go. And you'll wind up at the place where the Lord wants you at. You won't be half-hearted. You won't be in and out.
Wishy-washy.
You won't, huh? You won't be like driftwood out there in the ocean.
You're not certain.
You won't. You won't be like the rising tide and the Lord coming in and going out. The low tide, every 6 hours, 6.5 hours, it changes.
Wind just can't meet you out in deck. I've seen that.
You won't be like. Be like some of them that says, oh, I'm saved, and you don't see it for 6 months. We had a revival here one time, and there was a fella, you know what I'm talking about when I say something. We was having revival, and the brother, he stayed man with us, he wouldn't come. I hadn't seen him for 6 months. And brother, Preston was here running revival. And he come in the door, talking in tongues. Said, I hadn't been to church in 6 weeks, but it's good to see y'all. When we went to speaking in tongues, and come on in, I'll stand there at the door greeting people. Blaspheme. That's all that was. Speaking in some kind of tongue. He was the one that used to go by that song years ago. I ain't even want to repeat the way he spoke in tongues. That's a sin, probably in itself. But there was a whole song years ago that had a little, I don't know what you call it, a little thing there in the song. And he used that, like some of them used some other something other, to act like they was trying to sound like they were talking in tongues, and they was right with God, and the Holy Ghost was blessing them.
It's so dangerous.
It's dangerous.
The Holy Ghost moves,
and
He's moving for a reason.
And you better believe I told some of them, I said, how in the world can they come in, ain't been to church in 6 weeks, talking in tongues, and I've been here every service, and they more blessed than I am? I'm going to tell you something. If you got God right in your heart, you'll know the ones that's right with God. That's trying to do right with God. God will let you know. I was up here one time, and this girl had come up and prayed, woman. And she, you could tell she had a bad spirit on her. She got up and went to shout. I mean, right then. And she went spinning around, jumping around, busted that altar. God says she fit to go speaking in tongues. You better back up. I backed up over here. And sure enough, she went foolish. That altar there, if you look at the back side of it, you can see where the pedestal was knocked out. That woman dead today. Dead today, and I don't think she ever got right with God. I don't think she did.
That's scary.
It is scary. And I've got my doubts about her getting right with God. I hope she did. I don't hope no bad on her soul. God knows.
And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, had made good report fell there, came unto me and stood, and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked upon him, up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth.
Now, Ananias, a devout man, according to the law. A lot of people say, law. If they lived according to the law, they would have been a devout person of God too. Everybody could not live that. But Jesus comes, shed his blood on Calvary. Everybody can't live that neither. So they're stomping on the blood, the cross, they're stomping on the resurrection, they're trampling on it. Bible says, how can you escape with the blood of Jesus, the cross of Calvary? It's in Hebrews. How's that verse of scripture? How can you neglect so great a salvation? Maybe that's the word I was looking for, neglect. How can you neglect? It's been neglected. The ways of the Lord, the ways of righteousness and holiness, the intended way for God's people to live and serve Him, is being neglected. That's exactly right.
It almost makes you want to cry how they do Him.
Yeah.
People,
yeah.
They don't care about Jesus.
No.
They don't care what He's done for them.
And that, like, they don't care a thing about the salvation.
It's so sad.
The thing about the Lord. Churches is full of sin. And when you say the least little thing, you got to go.
That's right. That's right.
You're the one that's going to leave from there. And they'll wish that they'd never let you in the door to start with when you go out. You're the one to be... What's that?
That's in some of the holiness churches.
Yeah. You'll be the one that gets pushed out the door and asked to leave and asked to sit down and be quiet, hold your peace. But having a good report... Who did the Lord use? Who did he use in this particular situation? Somebody that would be obedient. Somebody that would be faithful. Paul, the Lord sent me over here. He said, "You lying devil." You didn't see Jesus on the way to Damascus. You a lying devil.
I like the way they obeyed God. I mean, there was no second question. I mean, they just went. They did what He said. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't know. And also with that, in the words of the Bible, they give credit where credit was due. Just like when they spoke to Ananias and said that he was a devout man according to the law. Having a good report of all the Jews, which was there. I mean, other people in here too, right? But showing us that, you know, just how close to God and how deserving and willing they were to serve and obey Him without question.
Ananias went to where Paul was at. He came unto me. And stood and said unto me, Brother Saul. Now, if you read, study upon this a little bit more, Ananias questioned God about this. He said, Lord, are you sure about this? This is the one that's been persecuting the church. This is the one that's been putting women and men in prison. This is the one that had stoned Stephen or held the clothes while they stoned Stephen. This one was the one that gave consent to kill Stephen.
Yes, he did.
he took God for his word. Mm-hmm. He went on down there doing what he's supposed to. And when he got there, brother Saul. When Saul stood up on that road to Damascus after speaking with Jesus, he was just as saved then as he was ever going to be in this world. When you answer in obedience and reply to Jesus in the right heart, the right attitude, the right mind, you get delivered from your old past, from your old ways. It might take a little while. It might take a few days. It might take a week. I don't know. But you'll come to terms with getting what you need from the beginning that you spoke to the Lord. From the time you first spoke to God.
Because even Saul was scared to go and do what the Lord was asking him to do because of what he had done.
Right. When I first got saved, it was 2 weeks after I talked to God over at Sneed Grove before I got on my knees and asked God to save me from my sins. But your father died 1 second after I left Sneed Grove from talking to God. I believe I'd have been just as saved right then as I am today. You know why? God gets you where you need to be for repentance. God's got you on your way. Paul was on his way. And when you get there, that you should hear the voice of his mouth. A lot of people hear things, but it ain't the voice of God. A lot of people think that they hear something or feeling something. And some of them talk like they're seeing things, visions. They're seeing dreams. They're having all kind of revelations from God. And it ain't a thing, but they've been on the cell phone. Fell over. And it was like 45 minutes when they pronounced him dead. But see, I always pray God give him time to repent, make a way. Now he could have died on that motorcycle and been all messed up and all tore up, going down the road 60 mile an hour, whatever. But that's a good sign. God had mercy on him. 15:16, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now thou tarriest, and now while thou tarriest, arise and be baptized and wash thy sins. Call for away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's a lot that we've uncovered right there. But I'm going to tell you something, that 14, it's just that you could break that one verse of Scripture down and you could get on the how many messages preach right there. And he said, stop. The God of our fathers, stop. Have chosen thee, stop. That thou shouldest know his will, stop. And see that just one, stop. And should hear his voice, stop. The voice of his mouth, stop. You could get enough of messages and all right there to preach a 2-week revival. Praise the Lord. And now, why tarriest thou? Huh?
We said, and thou shalt know his will.
Yeah.
It's important we know his will.
Yeah.
It's not our will, it's his will.
Knowledge is key when it comes to serving God.
Right.
Knowing things is key when it comes to serving the Lord. The queen of the South, did it say where she was from when she went to see Queen Sheba?
Mm-hmm.
When she went to see Solomon? It says
it
queen
says
of the South.
Yeah, but she
in one place. And she had to know for herself.
Yeah, she
heard great stories about Solomon the king.
She
heard the riches and the glory and the recognition that he had and that he got and the things that the Lord and God had done for him. She had heard about the wisdom of Solomon. The Bible says she had heard about the wisdom of Solomon. And she had to come for herself. Some of them talked like it was a 2 or 3 month journey for her to get there because she took camels, wagons, loaded down with stuff. She was going to be a blessing to them if everything was told like she heard it was. And when she come and seen and heard for herself, she said the half has not been told. And that's what the Lord tells us. See, we only know in part right now. See, we'll know later on, and we'll know everything. We only got part of what we need right now. But we've got enough to get healed. No. Sister Amy, read that 17:18-19 for us.
And it came to pass that when I was coming here into Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue of them that believe on thee.
Thank you. Now, Paul was in a trance. On the way to Damascus, he fell on the ground. He was in a trance then. But he tells him again, even while I prayed in the temple, you're really being blessed when God's getting you out there so far that your heart, you forgot about it, your family, your church, your mind, and your body. When you get that out of spirit relationship with the Lord in a trance, he's saying unto me, make haste and get out of there. They're not going to receive your testimony. And if you look at verse 22, and they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. I'm going to tell you something. They was against the word of God in that day. A lot of people don't want to hear it this day and time. But I'm going to tell you something. They're deceiving and being deceived in the house of God, TV ministries, radio ministries, internet ministries, all this foolish ministries they got now. Did you know that they're trying to cover up child molestation in the Catholic Church? They told it here a year or two ago. They said something. They was asking something about the priest up there in Pennsylvania, Boston, somewhere. He was a cardinal priest, ranked way on up there. Said, are y'all going to do anything, or what y'all going to reprimand him, or what y'all going to do? He said, well, we're just trying to figure out how to way to keep this from being public knowledge and public information. We want to kind of figure out a way how to keep this stuff from coming out. I'm going to tell you something, baby. The Bible said that in the last days they'd be perverted. Mm-hmm. They'd be a perverse generation. Mm-hmm. That means pervert. Mm-hmm. Perverse.
And to me, the word pervert is a kind word considering to how wicked and sick they are.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I hate the way things are. I do. But we in the last days, if you don't tell it, if I don't tell it, we may be held responsible for it. And when the blood of the martyr of Stephen was shed, I was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And when he said that, I will go to the Gentiles, they was mad about that then too. Mm-hmm. You know why? They didn't even think the Jews was the Gentiles was worthy of salvation. And then he's going to talk like he's going to the Gentiles. But they didn't want the Word of God. They didn't want Jesus. They were saying he was phony and false. They didn't want him. But they didn't want Paul to take him to the preacher to the Gentiles. So they got mad about that.
Yeah, they wanted to do what they wanted to do. They didn't follow what he had done. Not to give him what Jesus did. That's what the Lord did.
They'll get mad for you for doing the same thing that they need and that they want to do. See, they'll twist things around even now. They'll tell you that you can't kill and get by with it. But they'll kill 1,500,000 babies a year.
She was pregnant. She got another book and it wasn't the child's bed. She gave birth to that child Christmas Eve night. The new boyfriend was waiting for her downstairs. She puts that baby in a trash bag. I'm just
town and stuff like that. And she was downstairs. She told the boyfriend she had a miscarriage. But she, the baby was full term. The new boyfriend.
Yeah.
And had that boy to carry her to the store, get dinner and stuff, and stuff the pain. All right, there was, and threw the baby in the trash dumpster. Mm-hmm. Well, she done. They found it, well, you know, a little while later. Took a while to find the girl, and they're doing DNA and all that. There was one girl on there said, well, what they should have done was find a legal abortion case. Oh, she shouldn't have said that. Mm-hmm. No. I said, honey, I said, so you're saying it's okay to kill regardless? I said, no, it's not. I said, there's no such thing as legal murder.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes, it's there. The heart is the first thing to develop. I said, it's a lie regardless.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so you're telling me it wasn't okay for her to dump the baby in the garbage, but it would have been okay for her to go to somewhere for them to take it from her
and
then
throw it in the
dog. I said, there's no such thing as legal murder. It's murder regardless.
That's right.
I said, so don't use that legal thing in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it just upset me the way, I mean, people's just so dense. They don't really think. Murder is murder. Wrong is wrong.
Mm-hmm. There's no gray area.
Look at your Bibles. Y'all still got your Bibles? Look at 22 and 25 Acts. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? They hadn't found him guilty enough. See, Paul was a Jew, but he was born in Roman territory. So therefore he was a Roman citizen with a Jewish descent, Jewish nationality.
Think about that. It was almost the same question that they used for Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wasn't condemned to anything. He found us all.
He wasn't condemned. And it was unlawful for them to beat him and bound him and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, they come back to him and said, 27, then the chief captain came and said to him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yeah. And they done bound him, condemned him, beaten him, and everything else when that was against Roman law.
Mm-hmm.
What they want to do nowadays don't have to apply to them. What they want to do and what you want to do and what you should do and what they should do don't apply to them. You see, they don't want to abide by the rules and the regulations. They don't want to abide by the laws that they created. See, Congress has made these laws. Congress is the one that makes laws. And it's a felony offense for you to go in there and lie to them. Lie to the FBI or any of them up there, it's a felony offense. You can get like 12 months automatic for lying. Hillary Clinton told them in there one day, they said, you lied about that. She said, so what? I lied. Let's move on. You got a different set of rules to live by than from what they got to live by. But I'm going to live by the Lord's rules. See, I'm going to live by what the Lord wants me to do, knowing what the will of God is. Knowing. We are designed to walk hand in hand with Jesus. God's people are designed to walk hand in hand with the Lord. When he got up from there, they led him by the hand. Right on into Damascus. Right on into Jesus. When you got to have somebody to lead you, make sure they lead you the right way. You might get to the point after a while where you can lead somebody else. Right. I tell you, there's too much stuff out here that ain't of God.
There's too much stuff out here that ain't of God. They'll talk like to know God. They'll talk like to say. They hand in hand. 50 years. Yada, yada, yada. Over and over and over. It don't make no difference. Anything? I would say compliments, but I got some bad looks that morning. I said, "Is there any comments, or questions, or compliments? Compliment the Lord. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. You can compliment the Lord. I don't know about me. I ain't too much to compliment on, but any praise and glory belongs to God." Thank the Lord He leads us the way He does and helps us go the way we do. You can't live like this without Jesus. I'm going to tell you, you can't live for the Lord without the Lord. There just ain't no way. That's like saying a good person, a good life, they can live good as they want to. They got to have the blood applied. They got to be faithful to Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all want to do the birthdays? Anniversaries? These birthdays, anniversaries? Did anybody bring any pennies for the penny march? Well, now, I bring pennies for the penny march. And I hate to carry them back with me because the Lord don't like that. The Lord don't like that. You carry your pennies and nickels and dimes back out that door. The Lord said, "That's mine. You leave it here." The Lord told me that one day. He said, "You didn't put that penny and change in the penny market." He said, "That's my change." So what is fucking business over there? When you bring something with intentions to give it to the Lord while you're here at the church, you better give it. You better give it. How will you rob God?
Through
it. Tithing offerings. You know what this dropping pennies are? Offerings.
Yeah.
I throw about $1 or $2 of change in my pocket on Sunday morning. I like to leave it here. Anniversaries and the dropping kids. Thank the good Lord. I tell you, God's got a way for His people to go. And it involves being faithful.
That's right.
It involves being faithful. You still got your Bible up, Sister Lisa?
No, but I get it up right here.
Look back at 26. Acts 26. We've read this verse of Scripture. We've read these Scriptures before. But I want you to read it good and loud again. Acts 26 and 18.
To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
All right, thank you. Now, Now, Paul was blind. The Lord blinded him for 3 days. Ananias came to pray for him that his eyes would be opened, that he could see and know what the will of God is. And it ain't no different from that scripture right there. The power of God has got to rest in your life. It's got to be in your life. And you will have an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in Him. You have got to be faithful to Jesus Christ. You can't enforce that enough. You can't push it enough. You can't endorse it enough. It's got to be through faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. Come on, Sister Anne. Y'all pray for it. The Lord bless you and help you.
Appreciate the Lord this morning. Glad to be in church. Y'all pray for me and help me out now. I've got a little bit of a tickle. I ain't quite got over my pneumonia spouts. And I got out in some night air the other night, loading in stuff and calling in stuff in and out. And I think that I have kind of relapsed myself a little bit. So sometimes I get a tickle and I start coughing and I seem like I can't quit. But anyway, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37 and start with verse 1. Now we kind of do have quite a bit of scripture to read. Not too much, but quite a bit anyway. The first place being Ezekiel chapter 37 and starting with verse 1. And y'all just pray for me and help me out this morning. Book of Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came in to them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet and exceeding the great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dry, and our hope is lost, for we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it, for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, for all the house of Israel, his companions. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. Brother Dalton, if you will, get me some water. All right, the next place of scripture is Proverbs, chapter 17, and verse 22. That's the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, and verse 22. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. I'm going to read that again. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. I've got two more places to read. Psalms 107, and start with verse 1. That's the book of Psalms, chapter 107, and start with verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. The last place of scripture I have is 1 Peter. And I know this is quite a few scriptures, but I don't read it unless the Lord gives it to me. That's 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. Book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believe ye, believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Read verse 9 again. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You may be seated. Thank you for those that could stand. Now, y'all pray for me. Help me out this morning. Now, in Ezekiel, Sister Abby, he asked him, he said, Ezekiel, I've taken you to a place, and it's a valley full of dry bones. Dry meant dry. Right? Well, he don't say things he don't mean. When he said dry, there was no life in him. There was no nothing to him. You know, in the bones we have, that's where our red blood cells are made. We have bone marrow in there. And sometimes people have a certain disease. I can't remember what the disease is, but they have to have bone marrow transplants. And it's real painful, Sister B, to have to have it, because they have to go in the bone and draw it out, and then they have to put it in somebody else, and that is painful. There's a lot of good stuff in the bone. There's a lot of good stuff outside the bone. But it was so dry, there was no flesh, there was no blood, there was no marrow, there was nothing. It was just dry and brittle. And he asked him, Sister Abby, he said, do you think, which is what he was saying, I'm paraphrasing, Sister Dana, he said, do you think that these bones can live? He asked him, son of man. Now, last week I might have messed up when I said Elijah, but it was Ezekiel. He said, son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel kind of chose a safe answer. He said, thou knowest, Lord. But he was kind of saying, if you want them to, I know that they can. Yeah. You know, if you want them to be sure will that they live, then they'll live. And if it's not your will, then they won't. But he said, into their lungs. Then, Sister Abby, they were alive. When that breath come in there, they were alive. They straightened up. They stood up. They took deep breaths. They were alive. And he said, now I'll join them to Judah and Joseph and Ephraim. Now I'll put these dead people who were once dead into work. I'll put them where I want them to, because now they are alive. Sister Daniel, when we were in sin, we were dead. We had a reason to walk around melancholy and sad and depressed and deep down, just upset, no thought to live, no will to live. I told Brother Doug this morning, I said, it's just nice not to be on the way to hell. It's good, Sister Lisa, if we can't find nothing else to be thankful for or happy about. It's just nice not to be headed to hell, Sister Mary. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. It dries them out. Sister Lisa, sometimes the devil, and sometimes it's us, because it's what we let the devil do. That song said, the devil stole from me. No, unless you walls was down and your doors was unlocked, he couldn't have got in, because he said he couldn't cross the bloodline. There was a hedge built around Job, and the devil couldn't cross it until the Lord took it down and gave the devil permission. He couldn't get across that hedge. So don't tell me he walks through all them defenses, all you watchmen on the watchtower, all them walls that were set up, all them strongholds that the Lord provided us, said he would protect us and keep us. Don't tell me the devil stuck past the Lord and stole that, because I don't believe it. I believe you have to let him in to do it. But sometimes we get that sad, depressed spirit, and we sit and dry up our bones, just like we did in a valley. We sad, we don't know why. We depressed, and we don't know why. We cry, and we don't know why. We come to church mad, and we don't know why. We going home mad, and we still don't know why. Sister Dina, it's talks to them. Sometimes we let him get us deep down depressed, and it dries our bones. Sister Abby, I'm not just preaching at y'all. I'm talking to me too. Sometimes you wake up, man. You go to bed, man. You wake up sad. You don't know why you're sad. Don't know why you're upset. Come on now. I'm not up here by myself. Yeah, sometimes, Sister B, you get in a bad mood for no reason. And then sometimes it's because the trials and tribulations we're going through. We get upset and downtrodden about them. And now all of a sudden, then your bones start drying out. You ever see people that ain't happy in nothing they do? They ain't happy at church. They ain't happy with mom and daddy. They ain't happy with girlfriend and boyfriend. They ain't happy with husband and wife. I've seen preachers out there, they try to get them to date me, hopping from woman to woman to woman, because they can't be happy unless they pastor. So they're going from woman to woman to woman, girl to girl to girl, have four girlfriends in 6 months. Because they want the pastor. Trying to make it. You can't make it. If they ain't the one, it ain't God's will. You go on and try it, but it ain't going to make it. Sister B, we can't force the Lord's hand. And you said there might be churches somewhere. He might genuinely believe he can't pastor without a wife. I don't know. Brother Ellis started when he was 15, wasn't he? 16, and I think he can be a good pastor. And I like Brother Ellis. I got a lot of confidence in Brother Ellis. He started and he wasn't married. People get things all twisted up. And then he's dating girl after girl after girl. What's interesting to me, and I thought, morning, every scripture it turns around. Something bad happened to the children of Israel. They murmured and they complained and they tried to fix it themselves. Even had Moses trying to fix it himself and disobey God and didn't get going to the promised land because that spirit off of him jumped onto him. And the Lord said, speak to the rock. You don't have to hit it. Just speak. And he hit it anyway and lost his blessing. He's doing just as hard as he can, Sister Lisa, to get what he wants, to have it his way. And I could have jumped on that first train and missed my blessing.
That's right.
The children of Israel, every time something happened that they didn't want to happen, they murmur and they complain. And going together, murmuring and complain. And Pharaoh was following. God made a way, murmured and complained. Out there with no food, murmured and complained. Manna falling from heaven, murmured and complained. Quail falling from heaven, murmured and complained. Sister Dina, things is tough. And we're living in the last days. And we're living probably in one of the worst times people will see, because I don't believe it's much longer before the world comes back. Before the Lord comes back, I don't think it'll be that longer. But you know why he told you when you fasted? You know why he said, get up and wash your face. Get up and put on a good countenance. He said, because when you're doing something for the Lord, Daddy, you ain't supposed to look downtrodden. He said, don't show people downtrodden. He said, show them a good countenance. Get up and wash your face and show them a good countenance. We got to show a good spirit. We got to show a good attitude. No matter what we're going through, Sister B. No matter if it ain't what we wanted, if it ain't what we expected, we got to show a good spirit and a good attitude. Sometimes, Sister Abby, it's all you can do to hold your head up. Sometimes it's all you can do. But you got to do it anyway.
That's right.
Got to show it. But you might have been up all night, Sister B, sweating and crying and praying with tears. Your eyes might be red and puffy, but you wash your face.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
When you will give the world a smile. That's something I give him a smile. Because it's good not to be going to hell. No matter what we got to go through, Sister Lisa, we got a lot to be thankful for.
Yes.
Things could be a lot worse. Sometimes, Sister Dina, what you happen to is thinking about how bad things could be. Sometimes, he told Timothy, he said, sometimes you got to dig way down deep and stir it up. That means reach to the bottom of the pot and pull it up. It ain't always easy, Sister Abby. But we got to keep a good countenance and a brave faith, merry heart. Do it good. Like a medicine. If you sick to your stomach, sick to your heart, sick of trial, sick of tribulation, and keep that heart merry. Find something to be happy about because it does good like a medicine.
Yes,
don't let the devil get your bones dry. No, it's all right to be upset about stuff. It's all right to have stuff on your mind. As long as you trust in God and giving it to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right to cry. Sometimes we have to cry. But Sister Lisa, we have to pick ourselves up out of the mud room.
That's
and we
right.
got to find something to be thankful about. Find something to show a good spirit about.
Yeah.
Mama used to say, fix your face.
Yeah.
Fix your face. Because I had a bad habit. If I saw something I didn't like, I still do it sometimes. Sometimes when they walk through here and their skirt's up to their... Sometimes when their dress ain't long enough and they try to put stuff under there that it shouldn't. I do it. Don't think I don't get them later about it neither. Because I do. They don't listen to me all the time. But well, you know what makes me mad though, Sister Lisa? They'll call you and ask you. You think this is wrong?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
What would you have said if I'd have said no? I think that's all right. And quit doing it. Call me and ask me. So that let me know, Sister B, that you knew
already
that it wasn't right. And then you call me and ask me. Sometimes it's hard not to get vexed. And sometimes it's hard not to be vexed and show a bad spirit. Mm-hmm. You still have to, sometimes I have to pray and say, Lord, even though I'm vexed, keep my spirit right.
That's right.
Keep my spirit right. But, you know, Sister Dina, we got a lot to be thankful for, even though we're going through. The Lord has really took care of us. We can't find no fault. And I ain't find fault in the world. I ain't find a lot of fault in people. I ain't find a lot of fault in them. But I can't find none in the Lord. He's been faithful and true every time. And that's something to be merry about.
Yeah,
I appreciate the Lord and I appreciate y'all.
Yeah.
Thank you.